Very good evening to you. It's Friday night, well after 7 o'clock. And apologies to those tuning in at 7 o'clock expecting to hear a radio station, but when the place isn't set up for you and you walk in, it's hardly surprising that it takes you 10 minutes to get it set up. But what can you expect? Not happy here, that's for sure. But still, we'll get on with the show nonetheless. I say you're tuned to Revival Football here on 100.8 FM. Myself, Cameron McDonald, and as always, Dennis Newell. Unfortunately, no Andy Millen tonight. Andy's got a game. The Mortons under-20s they've got a wee game tonight, so Andy's obviously caught up with that. But in the company of myself and Dennis, we'll be looking back at last week's football results. Scottish Cup second round sees yet another early exit for our local community club, Clyde. Dennis and I will be taking a look at what's going wrong for Barry Ferguson's side. We'll be asking, have the Clyde fans turned? Is time up for Barry, or can he turn things around? We'll also be joined by Stirling Albion's Craig Beattie. Craig will be joining us around about 7:30 later on in the four. Well, that was the plan, 7:30, but as I say, the show's running 5 minutes late. So we'll get to Craig, but as I say, it should be around 7:30. We'll be casting our eye down at events down south as well. Obviously, we had the League Cup down in England during the week. Exits for Chelsea. Jose Mourinho's side, they're having a terrible time. Manchester United also exiting the Cup, and Arsenal, all to, well, obviously United and Arsenal to lower opposition. Chelsea going out on penalties to Stoke. But as always, I will start with the man to my right. It is, of course, the inimitable Mr. Dennis Newell. How are we doing?
I'm fine, Cammy, yes.
Good, good, good. Well, we'll eventually get the show on the road.
Yeah, I thought you were just at it. You couldn't get that computer screen lit up.
Yeah, it doesn't do you any favours at all when you walk in and things aren't set up. It's supposed to have the place ready to go for us when we come in, but obviously nobody's bothered their backside getting it set up for us tonight. So apologies, as I say, to anybody expecting to hear a show starting at 7 o'clock. I can only blame whoever was tinkering with the equipment before we got here, Dennis.
Doesn't matter. We're up and running,
yep.
And it's Halloween nearly.
Correct, exactly.
I thought you were coming a wee bit dressed tonight with your witch's outfit on.
No, it's still the sports gear, obviously, yeah. Straight to the gym after this.
Yep.
You're looking as if you're joining me.
I was out with the dogs earlier, so I've not really changed.
No bother, no problem.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, as I say, we were going to try and have a focus tonight on local community club Clyde. Unfortunately, couldn't get anybody for the club to come on tonight. Made one or two requests. Hardly surprising, I think they're keeping a low profile, because going by performances in the last couple of games, results the last couple of games, since Clyde beat Annan 4-2 and it looked as though they were going to be flying, the season has really fallen away for them. They're only a few points behind, you know, off top spot. I think they're a win or so off of the playoff places, etc. But another early Scottish Cup exit to form a team United. As you say, it's Halloween. Clyde are out of all cup competitions before Halloween, and if they don't get their act together, they could well be out of the league competition as well.
It's not looking too good, and it's always difficult for the supporters to accept that you go to this early stage of Scottish Cup. It was always going to be a difficult game. Mm-hmm. For Clyde, under the circumstances and the way they've been playing, and I've been in that situation. You go up north and you're looking at these teams and you're expected to win, and I'll tell you what, they know how to grind out results up north. It's only when they come to the faster teams with a bit more talent that they then get found out. But when it comes to our lower division, going and playing these Highland League teams, etc., and south of Scotland, you know, these teams, they're as well equipped to go and put out teams like the Stirlings, Clydes of this world. And yeah, it was a bad one. And I don't think it does the cause any good with the way the league's gone just recently. You know, you're looking back there, it's what, five games ago before Clyde actually got a result.
Yep.
And it's not that healthy, to be honest. But, you know, that's a decision that the club's got at this moment in time, is to say, how do we go forward? Well, you know, the easy answer is to sack the manager, but I'm always an advocate that, you know, you've got to give the guy this season. I don't care where it is, you know. You could say he's tinkered with it far too much. I think that's the case. I think he's been very frustrated. Unfortunately, he's cutting his teeth in football management at a club that should be bigger than that.
Yeah.
And it's not working out for either party. And I've said to you before, if he wasn't Barry Ferguson, would he have got the job? Definitely not. Because what he's able to do, what his managerial experience was a short spell handling, was it Fleetwood or...
Blackpool.
And, you know, you say to yourself...
Where they've gone.
Yeah. So you say to yourself, you know, if he couldn't really do it at Blackpool, to me, doesn't matter what you say the gap is, he'll no day at Clyde.
Yeah, I think he has certainly struggled. He did seem to fix something that wasn't broken. You know, you talk about... what Alex Ferguson did at Manchester United, what Arsene Wenger's done at Arsenal, you know, building a dynasty, dismantling teams and rebuilding them, etc. They did that over a period of time, you know, over some years, etc. Barry Ferguson's built and destroyed three teams already at Clyde, you know, and I think that's something that the fans are finding very difficult to live with just now. You know, he's been in the job just over a year already in the transfer windows. He's brought in half a dozen players almost in each window. He does seem to be a man searching for a solution to a problem that initially wasn't there. You know, this is a side who finished in the playoff spots under Jim Duffy. Very unfortunate, actually, not to finish higher up the playoff spots, I think, that season. Acquitted themselves very well against the higher opposition at the time in East Fife. Should have gone through against East Fife, but results... Just caught them out, if you like. I think they lost, if memory serves, they lost an extra time late on. So, and then Barry came in and he dropped quite a few players, chopped and changed, shipped out the captain, obviously. Whether that was for footballing or non-footballing reasons, it remains to be seen. But players like Stuart McComb left the club, Dennis, who obviously you'd seen and were very impressed with. To be fair, the bottom seems to have fallen out McComb's season. I don't think he's been the success at Annan that he was under Duffy at Clyde. Michael Daly, top scorer, was shipped out. He shipped out two or three others. I think at one time as well, he says he was going to try and bring through young players, through youth. I'm quite sure if you ask Fraser McGee and Jed Traynor, as the manager, true to his word, it doesn't appear to be with these guys. They're young players who came through the youth system. Looked to have a place in the side, but they were very quickly shipped out. It does seem to, as I say, try to fix a problem that wasn't broken, and now he's given himself a difficult situation. The side aren't scoring goals. Against Stirling Albion and Formentine, they haven't created anything. So he certainly is a manager under pressure as far as the fans are concerned. Now, they certainly do seem to have turned, but the board seems to be backing him at the moment.
Yeah, if we just run through, you said 10 games in the league, right? And we look at the 8th of August, he wins that game. Great start. Yeah. At that time, you were raving about how well the team were going to go. Then we move on and we find that he gets beat 2-0 with Queen's Park. Then another defeat against Montrose, yeah. Then gets a victory, 3-1 against East Stirling, which you're expecting. Then another victory against Arbroath. You think it's going well. And then you think the team's really turned the corner. And they beat Annan 4-2, right?
And hammer them, by the way. 4-2. This is now the league leaders. And Clyde had them destroyed.
Yeah. Now, that's when we've sat here before and you think it's on the up. And we watched the East Stirling game back then. And to be honest, you know, it could have been 6 or 7-0 to Clyde at half time. And they didn't look the worst in the world, but they just had difficulty scoring, and they did win that game. And to be honest, you could have tossed a coin to see who was actually going to be the victors in that match. But then you look, we've got to the Annan side of it, and they've done well. Then all of a sudden, East Fife, they go down 1-0. Berwick, they've drawn. Elgin, they've drawn. And then they get beat with Stirling with the odd goal. Now, the thing about it is, there is 20 points at the top of the league with Annan, and they're sitting in 14. There's only two games there, Cammy. And I think knee-jerk reaction is what I would say with the fact that we've went through that results there. 1 week they're up, the next they're down, supporters are high, then they're low. But that game we watched against East Stirling, I just thought that the supporters were actually looking for failure.
Mm-hmm.
I just get the impression we're waiting to be on his back. Now, whether I'm a fan of the guy or not as a manager is totally irrelevant. But what I would say is, you've pointed out and extended it, I've said it on here before as well, he's came in there and he's trying to make his own stamp into this when there was no great need to do it.
As a lot of managers do. You know, let's be honest, fine. He's not alone in that.
But you know who you blame for that? Not the guy himself. You blame the club. Because you should have somebody on that board of directors that is capable of talking football terms that says, by the way, you get the job, I don't want to see wholesale changes in here. One, we don't have the money, and two, Jim Duffy has left you a decent squad. Now, what I would like you to do is get there for the first 3 months. Your job's safe here for at least two seasons. You get there for the first 3 months and see what you can do with that squad. We only maybe bring in three players in, maximum, a spine of the team. Defender, midfielder, forward. That's all we're looking for you to do and work with the players. Work with the players, cut your teeth with it because you're inexperienced and we will oversee it. I bet you nobody has even broached that subject to what I'm talking about. They've just let them have a free rein. On you go, Barry. You're Barry Ferguson. You're a god. Well, I'm sorry, but it's coming back to bite them. And I think that leadership has got to come from the board of directors rather than hang the guy out to dry, because I think that's what's happening. He needs experience. We've spoken about that in here before. And I do believe if they were going to get somebody in, it should be somebody in the mould. Well, we normally have a guy here that's got a wealth of experience in Andy Mullen. Bringing him in with a vast amount of experience, or even every now and then be speaking to somebody like Craig Brown, or, you know, you look up the road at Alex Smith. These guys are always willing to help, but I don't see that in the way the results are going. And hearing from yourself and here every week, they obviously are not playing very, very well, and it's been wholesale changes. So, to me, not a million miles away, I think it's important that he gets results between now and Christmas. And I've still got faith in the fact that it's no European football, it's no Premier League football. It's a division where it doesn't take a lot to actually be challenging in this division. And with the players that he's brought in, they've got to maybe shoulder a wee bit of the burden here and start to help him out, because he's brought experience in there and he's shipped out quite a lot of the guys that were maybe for the future. So they've got to now start doing it. And as I say, for me, five games before I would start to think, is this working out? Scottish Cup exit, it's a hard one to take. But you know something? See if we can turn the corner now and get results in the league. You would put the Scottish Cup well behind you, because how far are they going to get anyway?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's not something that you would expect Clyde to go far in, but you would like to just get a wee cup run, even to Christmas, Dennis, and that hasn't been there for Clyde's fans under any manager recently, you know, not just Barry Ferguson. Clyde have struggled in the Scottish Cup, really struggled in the Scottish Cup since they knocked out Celtic. And let's be honest, once they did that, they went out the following round to Gretna in a game they should have won then back then as well. And we know what obviously happened to Gretna after that. Yeah. But it's the manner, I think, that Clyde are losing games that's concerning supporters, or certainly concerning some supporters. You know, there was a poll put on one of the Clyde pages on the social media last week. You know, is it time for Ferguson to go? Worryingly, the biggest majority of fans, I mean, we all know there's keyboard warriors out there, you know, but the biggest majority of fans on that poll did turn against Barry Ferguson. I think there was a selection of fans as well who went up on Saturday night, all the way up north, to watch a dreadful performance. I think there was a few of them there were giving Barry some pelters. And to be fair to Ferguson, I know for a fact he gave them some back as well, you know, which maybe is a wee bit worrying for a guy who claims to have sat there and listened to 50,000 fans at Celtic Park giving him abuse, you know, that when there's half a dozen supporters up there giving him pelters, that he turns around and gives some back. I don't think that's befitting of a manager of any football club. However, I think he's maybe feeling the pressure a wee bit, because it's at a stage now where it's difficult maybe for him to turn it around. He's maybe in a situation where he doesn't really know what to do, and he does need that experience alongside him that you're talking about, Dennis.
When you say he doesn't know what to do, to me, he's tinkered with it too much, far too much. This is the third time I think we've talked about him tinkering with the team,
yeah,
and it's still no right. But having said that, you've seen them playing well, and you've actually said on air there was a good chance to win the league, never mind getting to the playoffs, simply because the quality in a couple of games you've seen them.
Well, I tipped them to get to the playoffs,
right,
prior to the season starting. I didn't think they would win the league. My tip for that was always his fife, and I'll stand by that at the moment. But if you look at the league just now, they're 6 points off a top spot. They're only a point shy of the playoffs, you know, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility for them to turn things around. However, they're only 5 points off bottom spot as well. I mean, it is 10 games. It is still early in the season. There's 26 games to play for. I was reading there while you were talking that after 10 games last season,
you weren't listening to me.
No, I was listening to you. That after 10 games last season, Peterhead had 15 points. And we obviously, two seasons ago, and we all know what happened to them, you know, in terms of when they went on, they just put a fantastic run of games together. Clyde, however, I don't think at the moment look capable of putting that run of games together. They don't look capable of scoring goals consistently. I think they've only got their strikers, I think they've only got about 3 goals between them after 10 games. That's a frightening statistic if it's right enough.
Yeah, they've got 11-4 and 11 against.
You know what I mean? So after 10 games, they're not leaking goals, but they're not scoring them either. Obviously, the manager again has brought in Marvin Andrews, somebody I'm assuming he knows from his time at Ibrox. He's brought in Anthony Higgins as well, you know, after the transfer window closed. So he obviously felt his squad, even after the work he did on it over the close season, wasn't good enough. But I've spoken to a couple of players. I think there's the majority of the squad seems to be with him. I know for a fact there's maybe one or two players who aren't, you know. But the majority of the squad certainly do seem to still be behind him at the moment. However, 4 or 5 games, is it going to be too late by then?
You know, we're sitting here on the back of the Scottish Cup defeat, and they've got Queen's Park tomorrow.
Who've already beat them at Broadwood.
Yeah. Now, well, hypothetically, if Clyde go and win this game, they're sitting up there third equal.
17 points, yeah. They'll climb above Queen's Park.
So
with a victory, I know.
You know, there's a drama there that we can play out and play out and hunt for Barry Ferguson's head, but to me, it's no dilemma at this moment in time. I think you've got to expect that the second division in Scotland is not as strong as we would like it.
Is any division in Scotland as strong as we would like it?
That's right. But when you look at the outlying areas of what we touched on with Scottish Cup, there's a lot of these local lads, say up north, etc., that are more than well equipped to battle away and beat the second division.
Of course
it is. And that's where we sort of forget the days where it was just taken for granted. You travelled up north and it was 4-5, 6-0 or whatever it is. These guys are no junior footballers anymore. They're a better quality than they used to be. If anywhere, you'll probably find that the non-league setup in our game is better than our second division. So to me, looking at it logically, I would say, come Christmas, we have this debate again if things don't go totally pear-shaped between now and then. But we just, what would you say, one game away from getting out of safety and up challenging in the division, it almost says to yourself, are we milking it too much?
Is there a reaction?
Yeah, and what I'm saying here as well is I don't see Clyde week in and week out. But I'll tell you something, Clyde supporters are the hardest in the world to please. I've been to many's a game at Broadwood, and I've watched them elsewhere, and they are very, very difficult to keep happy week in and week out. It's only a small band of them, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you what, they can be very vocal and destructive, and it's not a job that somebody going into that club that is, what would you say, weak, mm-hmm. would be able to handle it, because they would just chase them out the door, any manager that goes in there that's weak.
Yeah, yeah. As has happened in the past, you know, they can be very vocal, and unfortunately at Broadwood there's not a vast majority of them, and you can hear them quite clearly. You know, that the fact that the crowd is so Spartan almost, you know, or so sparse. Maybe I shouldn't really say Spartans, obviously, bearing in mind what happened last year to Clyde in the Cup. But I think maybe what's even making this doubly difficult to bear, and I'm talking about Clyde, obviously, as a local community club, is Cumbernauld Colts, a club that was formed two seasons ago or something like that, you know, have already got into the third round of the Scottish Cup. That was a good victory for them on Saturday. You know, 2-0 at home to Auchinlech Talbot. That's a result that's not to be sniffed at. Talbot brought a decent support. 487 fans at Broadwood. It would almost be like a Clyde game, you know, in terms of the amount of fans there. But that's a fantastic result for them.
You know, it's really funny. You can see Clyde getting edged out of Cumbernauld in one fell swoop with Cumbernauld Colts. Mm-hmm. And I've sat here and talked about not having a senior club at Cumbernauld, but Clyde are not doing themselves any favours with the way they're going about mm-hmm. things at this moment in time, because they are going to be in the Nomads again. They haven't got anything sorted out of where they're going that we know of or I know yeah. of. And you're finding that a team that's just been put together by an old ex-player of mine, Craig McKinley, he's the manager. He played for me. Good player. Mm-hmm. And he always felt he was an intelligent boy and he could make a good manager, which he's obviously doing. So good luck to Craig. And we'll maybe, next round, we'll maybe try and get him on or on the phone. So anyway, you're finding that they have just been put together, probably better equipped than Cumbernauld Juniors are now. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that, well, great result, as you say. Where it'll take them, we don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's somewhere else to look within the Cumbernauld zone, that there is somebody there that has appeared from nowhere that's what would you say, overtaking Clyde's presence.
It almost seems to be that, you know. I mean, you consider, obviously, we had Ian King on the phone a few weeks ago. He was talking about things happening in the Lowland League, you know, with Glasgow BSC, with obviously East Kilbride, and now Cumbernauld. We already know about Spartans. You know, the Lowland League does appear to be, as though it may well be of some kind of benefit to the senior game in Scotland eventually, you know, because it's given some of these young players at a lot of these clubs proper community clubs. You know, when you talk about community clubs, I'm saying Clyde, but Clyde have got a first team, and beyond that, that's pretty much it. They've dropped their youth setup. Behind the scenes, I don't know what's happening, but a lot of fans do feel that the club's in disarray behind the scenes. But when you look at the likes of Spartans, when you look at the likes of Cumbernauld, East Kilbride, as we say, Glasgow BSC, these are clubs where guys are getting a chance, you know, that young kids coming through, products coming through, under right up to under 17s, under 18s, they now are almost getting an outlet, you know, in the shape of likes of clubs in the Lowland League. And I think ultimately that can only do our game some benefit, Dennis, to be honest.
Yeah, well, obviously Spartans are at the Cup getting knocked out with Elgin.
Knocked out with Elgin, yeah.
You know, but you've got other dark horses in there that basically will, you know, still do well. I'm always delighted with the fact to see the junior teams progressing, because for my days in it, I felt it was the one thing in junior football that was missing, was the entry into the Scottish Cup proper. And now you're seeing the likes of Linlithgow or Rhodes. Okay, it's clacking a cudden that they beat 3-1, but they're in the next round, which is the third round of the Scottish Cup, which is quite incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, as you mentioned, Cumbernauld Colts. Has the draw been made, or are we still?
It has been made, but right. As I say, if you give me a couple of minutes, I'll get it up. But
no, I'll get it.
Looking at results from the Cup last week, it was Annan Athletic 4, Berwick Rangers 1, Brora Rangers 1, Arbroath 2. Clackmacudden, as you say, losing 3-1 at home to Linlithgow. Cumbernauld Colts 2, Auchinlech Talbot 0. East Fife 0, Stirling Albion 0. East Kilbride 1, Forest 1. Edinburgh City 1, Buckie 2. Elgin 1, Spartans 0, Formentine 2, Clyde 0. Fort William against Cobh was postponed. Obviously another league side going out, East Stirling going out 2-1 at Huntly. Inverurie put out Edinburgh Uni 2-1. Lothian 1, Montrose 1, Nairn 2, Wick 2, and Stirling University 0, Queen's Park 2. You know, so that's the results ultimately there.
Well, we've still got 6 ties that are needing.
Yeah, there's still a few ties left.
Yeah, they're getting played tomorrow and games on Tuesday, I think it is.
Yep,
games on Tuesday. Some of the ties, looking at the next round, it's not actually got saying that to be confirmed who they actually are. Looking through it, you know, the game I think will be very interesting. Albion Rovers playing Morton.
Yeah, potentially. That's got the potential to be a great game, yeah.
It will be, and it'll be brilliant because the ground will be bursting at the seams as it is already without any supporters. But
the ground's just bursting, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing major jumping out as of now. The tie will in Lithgow Rose and Cumbernauld Colts. It's not giving us fixtures for that. It'll obviously come from one of the wins that are in the replay, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, that should be. You've got Clackenacuddin 1, Lithgow 3, so Lithgow are through.
Yeah, well, Linlithgow's waiting in their opposition. The opposition they've got is still to come for the replays.
Ah, right, got you. Right,
so
okay.
That'll be decided tomorrow and obviously on Tuesday. So after Tuesday, we'll get who all the fixtures are. I don't know why they haven't put in either or
of
who the games are. But that's what I've got here anyway.
Anyway, other results across Scotland as we move on. Try and be a wee bit more upbeat, as I say. It's pretty much, if you're a Clyde supporter just now, it is a difficult time. But as I say, it's not all doom and gloom. One win tomorrow. And let's be honest, Queen's Park form at Hampden's not the greatest. They're actually better away from Hampden this season. Looking at that, they've only won 2, lost 3 games at Hampden. But obviously Clyde go to Hampden tomorrow to take on Queen's Park. But results last week in the Championship, it was Dumbarton 0, Falkirk 5. Fantastic result there for the Bairns. Morton 1, Alloa 0. Queen of the South 1, Livingston 4. Andy Millen decided not to go down to Dumfries there to watch his laddie and miss Livingston's probably best performance and certainly biggest victory of the season. Raith Rovers 1, Hibs 2. And the Rangers on the Sunday, I think, beat St Mirren 1-0. Obviously to continue their 100% record in the Championship. Tomorrow or over the weekend, it sees Hibs against Rangers as well. That'd be a good game.
Yeah, and obviously during the week we had Inverness Cali in the League Cup getting beat with Ross County.
Yeah,
oh, what a result that was.
Yeah,
unbelievable the way Ross County's
going
about it.
Ross County's form is absolutely fantastic. Incredible. Just now sitting fourth there under obviously Jim McIntyre. The beat Aberdeen are falling off just now. You wouldn't put it beyond Ross County to get into that top three, because Aberdeen are in free fall just now.
It's incredible. So,
and a game against Celtic tomorrow.
You look at Ross County, and divisions apart, but we're sitting here talking about a Ross County team that we discussed the same way we've done about Clyde tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, so things can change.
And that just, was a change of manager that did that, but
well, maybe so, but it did change. Took him a long while though to get it right. And so much so, we gave him the kiss of death. We told him he was going down. So that was just basically the kickstart he needed. Morton getting beaten with St Johnstone 3-1. Maybe to be expected. Just a bit. St Johnstone's been very, very good the last month or so.
Cold, but.
Yeah, but they've still been very good. And of course, the quarterfinal game on Wednesday night with Celtic out, you know, coming out winners 2-1 against Hearts. I don't know whether that's a sign of the things that are going on now that basically says nobody's going to stop Celtic. And I think tomorrow against Aberdeen, we are nearly kick off. Celtic could just basically now start to say, right, the league's done.
Let's
and dusted.
Kick on. Yeah, that's it, exactly. Results in the Premier League last week was Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 1, Dundee 1, Killy 2. A wee bit of difference in form for these two sides over the last few weeks. Hearts 2, Ross County 0. That's a good victory, obviously, for Hearts. Cali Thistle 0, St Johnstone 1. They really have been struggling up at Inverness. Partick Thistle 1, Hamilton 1. And that was pretty much it on the Saturday. And I think Celtic had a game on the Sunday, which they obviously won.
Yep.
against Dundee United. They gubbed Dundee United.
Dundee United are so bad, it's scary.
Dundee United are so bad, mate, they're making your prediction of finishing ninth look as if it was going to be good.
Well, again, I just go back to that, and basically what we're looking at there was the fact that you've lost four of your players and with nothing getting replaced. And I just felt at that time, Jackie McNamara gave up the ghost in it as well. There just didn't seem to be that, what would you say, bit between the club's teeth, wanting to drive on, introducing youngsters that could be replacements. And I know you've got to sell players, but I'll tell you what, they may just regret the fact that they had to sell them all. And with Celtic capturing three of them, I just think it was a bit of a nightmare and a bit of a shortchanging the supporters. Because for the money they get in, I don't think going to the next division, if they don't get their act tidied up and improve shortly, they could be have a big banana skin that basically says, well, was the money really worth it? Because we've now lost an absolute fortune by selling these players on. The performance against Celtic, which we touched on there, was nothing short of absolutely shocking in a team that was staring relegation in the face.
Yeah, and they've sold these players on to Celtic, and they don't seem to be getting a game. They seem to be struggling to get a game at Celtic.
Well, I think there's a lot wrong with Celtic, and even tonight you've got Ronnie Dyler sort of sitting there and saying, you can't give me a stick, we're doing exceptionally well, and I think he's deluding himself. You know, but as far as Dundee United's concerned, I can't see how they're going to come back from it, because they don't seem to have the in-depth and the quality of players that's needed to get them up the Premiership. And if you also look at the teams like Ross County, St Johnstone, doing well enough to keep them at bay, I think that it's going to be a long uphill struggle for Mixu Patalainen.
Yeah, it is indeed. He's certainly not going to have his work cut out from there. I think he's probably the man to turn things around, but he certainly is going to be struggling.
He's certainly methodical, there's no doubt about it. I dealt with him when he was managing Cowdenbeath, and he'd phone me up and say, look, have you got a video or details of this game we've got next week? And, you know, because we played the team the week before, and he'd be asking me what information I could give him. So he was right into it and went into everything in depth, so much so you don't give a lump of wood a job with a national team, if you know what I mean. So, you know, Mixu has got a bit about him. Whether he gets any money to spend, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's it. He's been
transfer window in January. If he gets some of that money, which seems pointless, then if they're going to spend the money that they actually reap for the players this year, just held on them.
Yeah, indeed. However, we'll move away again. Sure. From talking about the Premier League as we sort of focus. And as I say, this week we do seem to be focusing on the lower leagues. Obviously done a bit on Clyde earlier on. And we're now joined by Stirling Albion striker Craig Beattie. Craig, good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Yourself?
Not bad at all, not bad. Thanks very much for joining us. That's obviously through one of the contacts we've got, friend of the show, Brian Prunty, obviously getting in contact with you. So thanks very much for joining us. Obviously, you're at Stirling Albion, featured a couple of times this season, but I think maybe injuries kind of restricting you, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for myself and the club, I started the first six matches of the season. You know, I felt like I was playing well, and we were doing okay. I think the style that I play with sort of suits the team at the minute. You know, we're sort of quite direct, and you know, I was getting on a lot of balls, holding it up and bringing my teammates into play, but I took quite a nasty hamstring tendon injury. And, you know, at first it was a real concern as to how long I was going to be out, but, you know, hopefully I'm not too far away now. I've been doing a lot of training, a lot of hard work, and I'm not too far away.
Yep. I was actually at the game recently with Clyde, obviously the game that Stirling Albion deservedly won 1-0. I think you restricted Clyde to one header in that game, you know, from Matt McLaughlin late on, and that was when you'd went down to 10 men. But I sat with a Stirling Albion fan, and he'd says that was one of the better performances, but I did see how direct the side is that day.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly fair, Clyde are the same. So, and with the way Clyde played and the players, no disrespect to them, they're all good players, good pros, but no, we felt that they were maybe lacking a little bit in mobility with their back three, so we decided to get it up early and get them turned and make them defend their own goal and get them running, which, you know, credit to the manager. It's worked and we'll beat a good Clyde team.
Yeah, and Barry Ferguson obviously saw that. He made the switch at half time, taking off Marvin Andrews and changing his defensive setup with that. But by that time, the job was obviously done. The one goal was always going to be enough to win it, I think.
Yeah, it's a very tight league, and you tend to find that, you know, there's never much more than a goal in the games. You know, as I say, we've been playing well. We've been playing a lot better than our league position suggests. You know, we're down there sort of second bottom of the league. We generally don't concede a lot of goals, but some of the chats, sort of a lot of chances. Some of the chats we're having after the game is, you know, they've had two shots on goal, one on target, and managed to score and win the game. So it's been a little bit frustrating. Would be more of a concern if they had 15 shots on target, but you know, it's still frustrating and that you're losing games to sort of single shot and goal. So we are defending well at the minute, and I'm sure that'll turn around.
Yep, and obviously looking at last week, you're saying obviously a single shot and goal going up to East Fife, a side still in the same division, obviously cup game last week, coming away with a nothing each draw and getting them back obviously to home game for a replay.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, you know, I was up at the match last week and you know, it wasn't pretty. And I'm being pretty respectful by saying that the game was awful. You know, I was quite happy when it finished. But of course, when you get a cup tie, you want your main objective is to remain in the hat, and we've done that. So we've got them back in a replay on Tuesday night at our place, and we actually get a local team. Should we prevail? We've got Cumbernauld Colts in the draw. Should we win?
Yeah, indeed. I was noticing that, and Cumbernauld, they're one of the sides coming through from the Lowland League setup. We were talking earlier on about the benefits that we might see in our game from the Lowland League, because it's giving young players they're always getting something to aim at some of these clubs. You look at a lot of the Lowland League clubs now, and they're turning themselves into this trendy phrase, community clubs. But yep. Cumbernauld are obviously very typical of that. Glasgow BSC, you know, Spartans, etc. You know, these are clubs now with a big, big influx of kids, and they've now got something to aim for with a chance, ultimately, of becoming a senior club.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no bigger objective in the game for people like that run the clubs. I mean, my kid played against Cumbernauld last week, and he's 8 years old. And I, you know, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't even aware that they had a senior team until the draw was made. And the manager notified us all on Tuesday night with the draw. So as I say, from a young age, from sort of 2005, 2006, right the way through to seniors, it's great for the lads. It'll be great for the kids to see that, and you know, as positive as that is for clubs, and they can be ambitious. You know, hopefully we'll put an end to that run. Should we meet them in the cup?
Yeah, I'd say obviously that'll be the ultimate aim.
What does that sound?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately that's got to be your aim. You know, as progressing, but as I say, but when you look at, we're always very, very critical of the youth structures, I think, at many clubs. You know, particularly the higher up the chain you go. You know, but when you see, I mean, with Ian King on a few weeks ago, he was talking about Glasgow BSC, and I think he was talking about 1,500 kids coming through that football club. You know, it's much the same at East Kilbride. I think at the same at Broadwood, our Cumbernauld coach, you know, with, you consider Clyde have given up on their youth setup, and somebody like Cumbernauld coach can only benefit from that from a local point of view. As I say, hopefully our game can see some of these kids actually having somewhere to go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think what's important, and I think what has to be emphasised, is there has to be quality rather than quantity.
Yeah.
It's all right saying, you know, there's 1,500 there, 1,200 there. See if they're not good enough. They're not going to be good enough. But the way the game's changed at the minute, you know, the sort of foreign signings at the bigger clubs and stuff like that, they're sort of reducing. So yeah, there is more of a target, more of an opportunity for all these players to develop, but you know, the necessity is for quality rather than numbers.
Yeah, we've normally got Andy Millen in the show. Andy obviously has not so much obviously. Andy has a game tonight, so he's not sitting alongside us, but he's involved in the youth coaching at Morton.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think yourself, you're taking some of the youth coaching as well at Stirling Albion.
Yeah, we've got some really good kids there as well. We've got we've got some good kids that can't even get sort of involved with the senior squad at the minute yet. So there is quality throughout there. I worked with Andy here last year, and Andy's brilliant with the youths. What a brilliant guy Andy is. So I'm sure the Morton boys will be benefiting from that as well.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I know that sometimes your chats after the show last longer than the show. You know, you could sit and talk all night, football with Andy, you know, and it's great that somebody like that is involved, and hopefully kids coming through can only benefit from his experience, from obviously your own experience. You know, I don't think I'm being disrespectful to you to say you're obviously in the twilight of your career, you know, and anything that you can pass on for your experiences to somebody's kids at Stirling Albion can only benefit them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'll sit and have as many chats and give as many pointers as possible. But with the same token, the kids have to want to learn. If I'm not going to take it in, then, you know, you can pass on your experiences about where you've been and what you've done, and probably kids will never sort of reach that heights. But what I like to try and pass on is the sort of mental side of the game, where they have to learn about the mental toughness and what it actually takes to get there, rather than the highlights of being there.
Is there a problem nowadays, but Craig, that a lot of them think they've arrived? You know, as Dennis here says, he say it's almost the kind of Porsche before the driving licence scenario.
Yeah, do you know what? It's actually incredible. the upbringing that I had, I was fortunate. The upbringing that I had at Celtic with the likes of, you know, Neil Lennon, Paul Lambert, Chris Sutton, you know, we used to get taken in the boot room and we used to get a roasting, put it that way, if the boots weren't polished. Now the kids don't even polish the boots.
No.
You know, they come in, they maybe do a day at college during the week, and, you know, they come in at 16, 17, 18 year old, and they think they know everything, and, you know, they're very, very quickly out of football if they don't change their attitude. That's obviously not the mull. There will be exceptions, but as a generalisation, the sort of senior players, you knock your heads together at different clubs, and, you know, the last few years has been a bit of an eye-opener. You know, some of the lads here, they wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes in my day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you get just now, you know, and it's almost it's a society thing. It's not necessarily football, you know, it's right across the board. You know, the place where I work, you've got apprentices coming through there as well, you know, and it's almost the same across the board. There is that kind of expectancy, you know, that they feel they're due it, you know, that maybe you didn't have it Celtic. Certainly somebody of Dennis Newell's generation sitting with me here in the studio is something he wouldn't have had either. You know, you earned what you got, you know, whereas now, as you say, they're expecting to be given it in a plate.
Yeah, I mean, going back to sort of when I was there, that, you know, like guys like Jackie McNamara and that, you know, you would feel at times that they didn't like you and they wouldn't talk to you, but you know what, you realise as you get older that you need to actually earn the respect. You need to, you know, they would communicate with you, but it's not until you've been there and proved that you're able to be there and mix with them and actually help, you know, help them achieve their goals before you actually sort of get a bit off them. And I think that's the right way, but do you know what, Dennis will probably agree with me. I think the days are gone, and I think it's us that needs to change, because we ain't going to change the majority, I don't think.
Hi, Craig, it's Dennis. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You know, just listening about youngsters coming through and everything else, what I took notice of last week was the average gates, looking at the likes of the Scottish Cup. We were probably sitting in Scotland with gates and the Scottish Cup with about 300-400 maximum. Uh-huh. You as a player, have you noticed it slip my way week by week or year by year, or is it just me not really looking at the gates every week now? Is it deteriorating quite badly?
Do you know what? It's probably a combination of things. It's probably, you know, I mean, possibly a combination of how well the teams are doing, possibly the financial sort of implements for 2008, 2009, you know, people falling out of love with the game and not really being able to get back into it. You know, there's probably a few circumstances, you know, in that with my own experiences. I've dropped down the leagues as well for the last few years, so yeah. But naturally the attendances are going to drop.
Yeah. The thing I always like to ask, because Cammy likes to talk in depth about what you've been up to, is what from my point of view, what would you like to see changing in the game for the benefit of everybody?
God, that's a really difficult question.
Everybody says that, it doesn't matter what I ask.
I think the main focus is probably that everybody's striving for is this international qualification. first of all, I'm glad that Gordon Strachan stayed on, because I think what he's put in place and what he's trying to do and achieve there has been great, and I'm absolutely thrilled that he stayed on. And I think it's just about when we spoke earlier about the numbers. So obviously we're starting at the grassroots, we're getting all these clubs and we're trying to build this, and it's just about getting as many people to the top with as much quality as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Things will change, I think. We've got to keep ourselves a bit more optimistic, especially myself than I normally am. But we've got to look forward, I think, and obviously I hope you get yourself fit and get back into it and start to climb up that league.
Another thing is that as many ex-players as we can get back into the game, you know, as possible, without being overly disrespectful to the community coaches. I think you see a different side of the game when you've played it for a long time. You know, there's some coaches that are in the community and, you know, they don't pick up coaching to their 35, 40-year-old and they've actually never played football. It's like all of a sudden they wake up one day and think, you know what, I'm going to be a football coach.
Yeah, I think this is an argument we've had many's a time regarding referees.
Yeah.
Well, we're finding that the game has been run by administrators or people that can read the books well.
Paper pushers.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good description. Yeah. And that's what's badly lacking. People that's missing in the game is people like yourself coming in as they get a bit older to add their experience down to the youngsters. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Again, that possibly falls a bit down to the finances because clubs they don't have the money to bring these guys in.
Yeah, maybe so, but you know, I'm sure you'll know that expensive if somebody asks you to come along and help out for kids a couple of nights a week. You know, you almost do it willingly as against big bucks. We're not looking at major Premier League players. Asking Alec McLeish to come along and maybe coach kids. But I think people of your stature and Andy Millen, who we have in here regularly, yous are more than willing to go along there and be helpful as against saying, how much am I getting? So I think that we have that in abundance. I just don't think we tap into it well enough.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you saying, but obviously there's other circumstances where guys have got families and they've got to work, and then it becomes, you know, that their life becomes 24 hours a day. So, I mean, for me, ideally, you know, if you could get, you know, say the head of youth at sort of Hearts, for example, and you can bring in 8 to 10 former players, not just Hearts players, but former professionals, and, you know, they command a good salary and come in and be able to work closer with these boys for long periods, and that would be their job, to focus on making them better all the time, as opposed to dipping your toe in maybe two nights a week for an hour or so, because I don't know if the kids would learn anything from that.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying. Yep, and the ideal world, what you're saying, would be perfect. It's just whether we can get people upstairs to actually listen to what's suggested.
Yep, indeed, yeah, indeed. Well, listen, Craig, as Dennis says, we'll wish you all the best. Certainly hope you can get to back fit, and it's no long before you're knocking in the goals again for Stirling Albion. Game for you tomorrow against East Stirling, obviously. That'll a wee victory there against Shire will see you rise a few places as well. So we'll wish you all the best. Thanks very much, as I say, for coming on. And if you don't mind, we'll get you on before the end of the season again as well.
No problem at all. It's an absolute pleasure.
Smash. Cheers, thanks, Craig. Very much, Craig. Thanks, cheers now.
Right, Mike. Bye.
Mike. Thank you.
Craig Beattie there, a guy with a wealth of experience, and it is great that he's involved in the community setup, or the coaching setup rather, at Stirling Albion.
Yeah, because there's too many guys at his stature going out the game and not being able to put it back in. I mean, Andy talks about people week in and week out. When we look at our generation of footballers, there's no many over 35 still plying their trade in the divisions.
No.
They disappear. And again, that is down to finance as well. You know, I look at my own boy, his job's far more important.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, if he was just actually being able to train two nights a week, he could be playing in the bottom division. But you have to turn your back on it, because work comes first, and unfortunately that's the state of our game now.
And I think that's maybe why you've got a lot of youngsters or younger players in the game now as well. And, you know, it's guys maybe who don't have the responsibilities, don't necessarily have the necessity almost, you know, who can afford to work part-time and also can afford to obviously have a part-time gig as a football player as well. You know,
yeah, it's when it stops, Cammy, that's it. You know, you look at players that are able to combine the two together, and it's a nice wee extra income for them. But
you
know, I've seen players that are maybe 28, 29 with no income at all, other than maybe for a low division club, which just doesn't It's not feasible.
You look back at the Graham Roberts model at Clyde when he came in and he brought in players of around 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, guys at the time, likes of Chris Higgins, you know, Craig Bryson, obviously. Some of the rest of them, believe it or not, Stevie Masterton, and you know, players like that, who at the time were getting released by Premier League clubs, were young, hungry footballers, and who did a job for them, obviously, as we say, ultimately that resulted in the victory over Celtic in the Cup. But there's no many clubs now have got that model.
No. But we just need, as I say, be optimistic. I've tried to do that tonight with Clyde rather than just
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping that Clyde can get a result tomorrow.
I've tried to play kind of devil's advocate almost with Clyde, you know, to a degree. That the fans, there is a bit of pressure on Barry Ferguson coming for the fans. The board seem to be backing him. But I think there's probably not as much pressure on Barry Ferguson from the fans as what he's putting on himself, to be honest. Let's be honest, he set targets at the start of the season.
I think the guy will be hurting, and that's why he's maybe responded a wee bit to, look, I get 50,000 supporters on my back, 200 or whatever's not going to matter. That's him just putting the feelers out to say, look, don't try and think that you're going to get me leaving here because you're giving me a bit of stick. What he's really saying is, I'm aware of it. And I think he'll be hurting because I'll tell you what, but there's nobody, and I mean nobody, at that club working harder than him.
Well, I think he is, you know, and I think to a degree, by the way, these comments also are trying to take the pressure off his players because, as you know, at Broadwood you hear every word. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a selection of fans there getting on the back of the manager, it's bound to transmit itself onto the field of the players. So it's maybe a case of Barry saying, look, you're wasting your time. Instead of getting on my back, try and get behind the team. But anyway, as we say, we'll move on. Results last week, we've got about 5 minutes to go. We've done obviously results last week in Scotland. Fixtures tomorrow, as we say, Dundee United taking on Ross County, Hamilton taking on St Johnstone, Cali Thistle against Dundee, Kilmarnock against Motherwell, and Partick Thistle on the back of two good performances, a win and a draw.
Good game.
Taking on Hearts.
Yeah, good game. Obviously, the big one is tomorrow with a 12:30 kickoff is Celtic against Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I know it's only 31st of October then, but I just feel if Celtic can turn over Aberdeen, the league's won.
Yeah, it's done.
Because there's nobody good enough to come back. And having watched Celtic, I think our league is dire. If Aberdeen can't put up a show and maybe get something off Celtic, but I'll tell you what, hard place to go
No better game but than for Derek McInnes to turn it round at Celtic Park tomorrow. Yeah. It's one of these games, I think Aberdeen are either going to go there and put in a performance and get a result, or they're going to go there and get absolutely resoundingly hammered.
Well, we'll see.
I think one of these two things are going to happen. I don't think it's going to be a squeak for Celtic. Other fixtures tomorrow, Alloa taking on Queen of the South, Dumbarton Morton, Falkirk St Mirren, Livingston Wraith, and on Sunday the big one there sees Hibs taking on Rangers. Division 1 is Airdrie against Albion Rovers, Ayr against Stranraer, Cowdenbeath Dunfermline, obviously the local derby. And by the way, you're talking about attendances, there was over 3,000 last week at Dunfermline against Forfar.
Well, you know, Dunfermline you can never fault for being a club that gets well supported. That's why, to me, it's a pity they're not in the Premier League, because they're certainly up the tables.
Forfar against Brechin, again a local derby, and Steny against Peterhead. And in Ladbrokes Scottish League 2, it's East Fife Annan, Elgin against Arbroath, Montrose Berwick, Queen's Park taking on Clyde, and Stirling Albion taking on East Stirling. I think to a degree they've tried to see if they could get sort of derbies across the board there.
Mm-hmm. Like Stenishmere and Peterhead, that's a good one.
Aye, well, as I say, most of them, you know, there's going to be the exception. But you look, you get Forfar Brechin, you've got Airstrin Ra, you've obviously got the Lanarkshire derby there tomorrow in the shape of Airdrie Onions taking on Albion Rovers.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And obviously, what we've got coming up is Champions League next week and Europa League. So we've got a bit of meet around the bones with them. Nice fixtures to be looking at. The team I'm looking to see how they got on tomorrow is Chelsea playing Liverpool, 12:45 kickoff. Hey, I don't rate Liverpool, but I'll tell you what, Mourinho's going to be really under pressure if he can't beat Liverpool at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp getting his first victory during the week. Obviously changed his side, wholesale changes, but he managed to beat a struggling Bournemouth side. I think Bournemouth are really going to suffer for the fact that they've lost so many players. You know, they've lost five of their star players, four of them for the season, and I think they're going to struggle in the league because of that.
What a double prediction that would have been. Dundee United to finish ninth and Chelsea to
finish at the top four.
15th. can't believe they're sitting in 15th spot.
I
think they're better than that. Let's be honest about it. As much as I'm not a big fan of Mourinho, I just feel that they're better than that.
Yeah. So. Indeed. Well, I must admit, when we sat here at whenever it was, nearly 7:10, maybe it's a benefit. Maybe you should start every show when it's just you and me at 7:10. I'll have a word with the gaffer and say, look, whoever's in the show, the studio before is going to get me tank with a computer. I didn't think we'd manage to get to the end of the show. As it is, we're still run out of time to talk about things.
Definitely.
But it's game over.